G'day and welcome to Oceanic Gaming Radio. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for joining us. It's your weekly gaming injection from your favorite Aussie gaming aficionados. Welcome. How you doing? Great to have you here. Thank you for listening. My name's Capo, El Capitan, and joined with me, as per every week, is Pavlova Face and Timothy, i.e. Grizzly Gaming 86. How we doing, fellas? Good? We all right?
G'day, Capo.
Doing
10
good,
out of
fellas.
10 on my end, mate. Actually,
10 out of 10. Wow.
Maybe 8.5. Drop it down at 1.5, I reckon.
Is that to account for the hangover or...?
a couple of things, I reckon. We'll get there, mate. I'll tell you all about it in a second. Yep. Excellent. How are you going, mate? Are you well rested?
Yeah, no, I'm good. I thought I was going to be a bit dicey last night because Mia was like, I can't get to sleep at her usual time when she needs to try and go to bed. And I was like, okay, it might be one of those nights. But it turned out fine. We watched we've been watching fucking Jersey Shore whilst feeding Theo, which has been a hilarious nostalgia blast.
Is this the new Jersey Shore cap?
Or no, this is like the origi-didge, like, Joyzy, like the old shit, you know, with like Mike the Situation and what's his fucking name? Paulie. I don't know why, but I have this affinity for the guy with the weird hair, Paulie. What was the chick's name in it? Snooki?
I can't remember. Snooki, that's right.
Jay Wow.
Yeah.
What was the other one? Sammy Sweetheart. I don't even know how these people were able to operate in, you know, the real world, to be quite honest. Like, they're just absolute maniacs. But
they probably don't, mate, I would imagine, potentially.
Well, no. Not really, but yeah, they probably made a fair bit of money off Jersey Shore, I would have thought, with the amount of I think there was like 6 seasons or something, and we were only...
I swear I saw an announcement that there's a new one coming out or something. I saw something about Jersey Shore.
Well,
on the news the other
there
day.
Was like Geordie Shore, which was like the English version, apparently.
Oh, maybe it was
way more
that,
hectic because they get all the fucking pingers and... go ham. Whereas, like, they're actually fairly conservative in the, what do you call it? I just said the name. How's it going already?
Jersey
Shore. Yeah. Jersey. They're actually quite conservative. Yeah. Like, they don't do any drugs. They just get massively pissed and like
smashed. Yeah.
Yeah.
And have
anyways,
a good time.
Anyways, enough about Jersey Shore. This is a gaming podcast, not a fucking like, you know, early 2000s reality TV show, you know, analysis podcast. Now, Pav, how are you going, mate? You had a wedding on the weekend, I believe.
I'm good. Very tired. Had a wedding. It was two of my very, very close friends. I was a best man, and I have been stressing about writing a speech for a while.
Oh,
but
yes.
It all went well, and it was a beautiful day, and the couple were very happy with everything. So
was your speech well received, Pav?
Yeah, look, I wrote it the night before, and when I read it in front of everyone, it was the first time I read it out loud. So it didn't quite flow as I wanted to in my head, but look, it was fine. They appreciated the message that I was conveying.
Absolutely.
So it was fine.
Pav, did you go down the route of pulling the piss out of the groom, or was it all nice things? You
know, I did all very nice things. I think they were expecting a more comical one, but I had too much nice to say about them too.
Oh, good luck.
To pull much piss. But it was
missed opportunity, mate, to take the piss.
there's always time for it. Always time for it. But it was very nice. actually kind of fitting because it was. All the groomsmen was kind of One Piece themed, which was pretty cool.
Sick. Wait, were you all a different crew member or what?
Yeah, so the initial idea was that we're all going to be like different crew members and we'd have like something to symbolize that specific character on our suit. But we ended up opting for, like, because not everybody was a One Piece like fan. So they were like, all right, let's just do the, like, all the characters from the main crew, their flags are going to be on our liner of our suit. And it all came out really good. I'll have to chuck some photos up.
Some Twitter photos up. I'd froth on seeing that. That's so fucking cool. I actually 100. Need to get up to date. I like kind of stopped reading the manga because I don't know. Okay. I'm not going to go too far into this, but I found the Wano arc to be a little bit boring so far. The beginning anyway.
Yeah, the beginning's a bit drawn
is this
out.
The new season, Cap, new season.
Well, it's like the latest-ish arc in the manga, and they're kind of there in the anime. But my whole intention was to catch up, and I'm pretty fucking close. But yeah. I just do my usual of like, I'm going to go and do something else now.
Yeah. Yep. Sounds like me, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I dropped off a bit, but it's worth it. Capo,
I'll get back into it because I actually started reading Chainsaw.
Chainsaw Man
or whatever.
Yeah,
it's actually fucking sick.
Really,
it's super horny though, dude. Like, what the fuck? Like,
really?
Dude, manga artists need to chill out. It's fucking unbelievable. The whole premise of the story is basically this guy who turns into a chainsaw demon and he's just trying to touch boobs. That's his whole fucking shtick. Basically, he just wants to touch boobs and he will do anything to achieve his goal. Dude, you know, hey, consensually. So, but he'll be doing things for people, and like the aim is always, you know, to touch boobs. But yeah, it's like overly horny. It's crazy. But yeah. Anyways. But yeah, sounds like you had a great time, Paz.
It was beautiful.
Did you
beautiful.
Get on the piss? What's the go?
Another week. Another week of 5 a.m. finishes, dude. It's been
brutal.
I've had 5 weeks of consecutive 5 a.m. finishes now, and
what?
I don't know who
dude,
I
that
am.
That is nuts.
It's unreal.
I don't know how you do that.
It's rough.
I mean, I do 1 a.m. finishes most nights at the moment, and that's just about killing me.
This isn't every day. It's just one night of getting absolutely blasted a week, but it's still more often than I ever planned. Right? Anyway,
well, I'm glad that you had a ripper time.
All good
I'm
times.
Glad. Very glad to hear that. Now, Grizzo, you, mate.
Yes.
How are you doing?
Well, Cap, we had so every year, guys, a group of us usually catch up. Kind of COVID kind of put a stop to that, but we catch up for the Dota 2 International. We call it the Tinternational, and it involves a lot of beer and catching up and watching of the pro games. So I hosted the event this year, and one of our mates flew over from over east, and it was great. We had like a bar, started about lunchtime. I actually got to see Theodore, Cap's little man, adorable Cap, which was great. Got to have a cuddle and feed him a little bottle and hang out with Theodore. That was good. It was a highlight. And then a little champagne lunch over some meat and watching some Dota. But I tell you what, Kat, how fucking great has the Dota 2 been for the international?
I've got to say, dude, like, I actually think some of the games that have happened this international have been probably some of the best Dota I've ever watched. It's just been like... Especially, I won't say too much for those listening at home in case you are trying to keep up, but there was one particular series last night where me and Grizz just happened to be on Discord together and just chatting whilst we're putting together the podcast notes. And holy fuck, it was really hard to put the podcast notes together because the series was out of control. It was fucking crazy.
That was one of the best series I think I've ever watched, Cap. It was just back and forth and back and forth. Could have been anyone's series and just amazing to watch.
I think like as far as esports goes, because there's just so many variables. I mean, I guess it's like any sport really. Like I don't want to be kind of reductive for other sports, but like I guess because like there are so many, like a game like Dota, because there are so many factors involved, sometimes it's hard for teams to be well matched, I guess. And but also absolutely. Both playing at super high level, you know, gameplay. But that particular series, again, not going to say who it was in case you're not up to date, but holy fuck, it was nail biting. It was honestly the most knife edge I've ever seen an esports game in my fucking life. It was crazy. And honest to God, it was so hype. But
Really and good. Just on that point, Cap, the last few years, I feel like there's been maybe two or three teams that are clearly favoured teams to make the finals and win. But that is just, I feel like that is just not the case with the international, Dota 2 international this year. I feel like anyone who's left in it has a chance to take the ages this year. Just very competitive.
Absolutely. I'll tell you what though, like the thing I like to see is just more region representation as well. Like the South American teams have been nuts.
You love the South American teams.
I'm a huge fan of the South American teams because they're just fucking cool dudes. Like, I don't know. I just like the variability in your teams. You know, right? Like normally it's generally been kind of like Europe stomping most other regions and maybe a little bit of China. But this year, dude, like, I mean, even like Southeast Asia was pretty looking pretty fucking spicy until
did pretty
they had
well.
Some issues.
Yeah. Spicy COVID, issues. Yep.
Yeah. COVID basically reared its ugly head in the Dota International, and they've had a couple of games where, you know, only one or two like team members can be present in the actual thing. But yeah, look, anyways, Dota's fucking sick at the moment. If you're at all inclined to watch it, the grand final is next weekend. And Grizz is going to be flying to Singapore to go and watch it.
So if you are watching Dota live, look out for me in Australian budgie smugglers in the crowd there. I'll be having a big, well, I won't be, but I'll be there. So look out for me in the crowd. All right. You might be able to see me, but Cap, I wanted to tell you this story before we jump into the episode, mate, because you know me, I'm a sucker for a 3-day hangover. And yes, I have a 3-day hangover and I feel like my brain just runs like at least a 20% power when I'm like,
I swear every time we have this podcast, we talk about how you've had a 3-day hangover.
Like, it's not going to change either, man, which is a bad thing. Going to Singapore is going to be the same. But I got in my car this morning to go to work and I reversed out and I ran into the side of my garage in my car. Oh,
no. How bad are we talking?
This half a meter fucking scrape was just like, it was so much. Oh, no. It was so full on that it actually made my car stop. It was pretty bad.
My God. Okay, we need a picture of that on Twitter as well.
The funny thing was, it was pretty early, and there was a couple of tradies across the road that had just started work on this house.
Were they like, taxi?
Up out of my car, and the bloke's like, you haven't had your coffee this morning, mate.
You're fucking wrecked. I mean, it wouldn't be a tradie if you didn't have some fucking snide remark to make after you did that, right?
Yeah.
Fuck. Holy shit.
But, you know, shit happens. The car's like cost me like $4,000 about 2 years ago. So it's.
Yeah, whatever.
It's, you know, it's one of those.
It's a dad mobile anyway, mate. You know,
I do what I want, all right? I'm going to crash into the garage again if I really want to.
Cap, I'd actually argue that it makes your car look cooler. You know? Maybe I'll do it
on the other side.
Slightly more aerodynamic.
Make it matching, you know?
Ah, that's actually not a fucking bad idea. We should do that when you get back from Singapore. I'll help you out. But excellent. Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that, Grizz, but, thank you for sharing your pain with us so I can laugh at you. Now not much has changed for me. Just been playing a lot of WoW and feeding a baby.
Me too. It's good fun, isn't it?
Basically. Oh, loving it. Really, like it. Really enjoying it at the moment. It's just, I think I spoke about it last week on the podcast. It's just so easy for me to jump in, do a couple of quests in between, you know, housework, feeding a baby, all that kind of shit. So it's been probably the perfect game right now. It's kind of a shame because I kind of dropped right off Cyberpunk, and I was thinking about that the other day, and I was like, fuck, I'd love to jump back in there. But I just feel like I just don't feel committed to like serious gaming at the moment. And like even things like playing Dota or anything like that, just, yeah. Don't know.
Yeah.
Guess can't be bothered. Can't do it.
Just, you know? Things just come and go, don't they? I know none of these were on the run sheet, so maybe this is a good time to talk about it. We got some massive releases coming, Cap, between Dragonflight. We have Dragonflight. We have the God of War and something else as well. There's what's the Fat Shark game? Darktide.
Darktide, yeah. And I mean, we had Mario Rabbids came out last week, and I've played about 30 minutes of it. Pretty good so far.
That's right. Yeah.
I might talk more about it next week, because actually, whilst we're talking about this really quickly next week, Grizz isn't going to be able to make next podcast episode. So we're going to be bringing in a special guest, and that is the special guest we should have had last time before we cancel the episode, because I had a baby. We're going to have Nick Tacular on, and Nick and I are going to talk about Mario Rabbids and obviously all the weekly gaming news for that week. So it's going to be fucking good.
Are you going to play Splatoon before then, too, Cap? Splatoon before then, mate?
Probably not. I've got it. I just haven't had a chance to play it. You know, it's just life at the moment. It's just
Can't wait to see Nick, mate. I'll try to tune in and listen to the legends.
Nick's an absolutely fucking solid fellow, so If you're well, you know, if you're here and you're listening right now, make sure you tune in next week and catch up on all the regular gaming shit. Now, that's enough from us on the banter section. Let's fucking jump in, Grizz. We've got a fair bit on, and we've got a fair bit to talk about, okay? Lots of gaming news, lots of gaming views, okay? So, but before we do jump in, I'd just like to remind everyone, firstly, thank you so much for consuming our content and just being all-around fucking legends. Appreciate you big time. If we could get you to do one thing, it would be to share this podcast with another legend that you know, someone that you might think might appreciate a bit of Aussie perspective on video gaming and banter. But if you could leave ratings on your podcast platform of choice, that would be fucking excellent. We would really appreciate it. And yeah, that's about all I can really say. Just make sure you give it a maximum stars, okay? Maximum stars, positive vibes only, okay? Any negative vibes, I swear to God, I'm not going to be stoked. now, on top of that, thank you to our consistent Patreons. We bloody appreciate you all immensely. Thank you so much for continuing to support us financially in this little venture of ours. You know who you are, but we're going to say who you are anyway. Sukai, Moosey, Caging Runt, Sergeant Paul, and Lee GD. God, you guys fucking rock. Thank you. Appreciate you. You guys are legends. Yeah, anyways, what have we got on the show today slash tonight slash whenever you're listening to it? Miniclip has closed the servers. Big sad.
They're
done. We'll talk more about that and what that means for the wide world of video gaming. There's some Payoneta disputes going on. What does that all mean? Mm. It's all to do with voice acting and potentially not being paid what you're worth. So we'll talk more about that later on in the episode. Konami is back on the fucking headlines. How? Why? Does it involve pachinko machines? We'll fucking get that into your brain shortly. and Capcom is also, you know, having a sword fight, a pissing contest with Konami at the moment. So that's another thing to look forward to. New Final Fantasy trailer has hit the tubes and a lot of God of War hype up is happening as well with the proximity to the God of War release.
It's so close, Cap. It's like 2 weeks, mate.
Yeah.
You're nearly there.
It's actually scary. I'm very excited, though. Yeah, and then obviously we've got our usual poll and quickfire, but for now let's jump straight back into the main topic. Grizz.
Yes, sir.
Miniclip.com. You ever go to that website ever in your
life? You know what, Cap? I didn't. And I feel like I probably should have, because I feel like I was definitely playing other things that were around in that period, like Stick Death and Newgrounds and other stuff. But no, I never went to Miniclip, dude. Mate. Talk me through it.
Well, look, Miniclip was just like a massive, like, flash game repository, right? And it was just, it was one of those sites like Newgrounds and stuff like that people were just uploading. You know, flash games, et cetera, et cetera.
Hell yeah.
But yeah, it's a nostalgic, you know, a piece of the early 2000s. It's just one of those, it's the Jersey Shore of, you know, flash gaming. So not really. But regardless, it was very popular, very well loved, and it is shutting down its servers as of basically right now, I believe. So
what was your go-to game on Miniclip, mate? What would you play? What was some of the
dude, honestly, the Line Rider. You ever play that game where you draw the line and have
Rider.
The no line L-I-N-E.
Oh, Line Rider, right? Line Rider line sounds Rider. Way cooler though. But yeah, Line
no,
Rider. Okay,
trust me, this was cool as shit, dude. You draw a line, and then your little guy would ride along the line. You could do like loops and all kinds of shit. It was fucking sick. Such a good game. Right. Such a Rider. Sick game.
Yeah. Okay.
But, dude, there were so many other really good examples of games. I remember there being this one game where it was like, imagine Pong, but, like, you are kind of, like, the view is kind of towards you. So the Pong, like, paddle is in front of you and you're playing Pong across the way in front of you to another Pong paddle. Like, so it was like a depth perception thing. And I remember that being, I can't remember what that was called, but it was, that was an excellent game. And you could do, like, all kinds of, like, curve shots and all kinds of other shit. I remember there being like a soccer game that you could play network on via network. So you could play
really, dude.
Yeah, dude. Dang. So you could play this little soccer game.
tell me, Cap, did these all happen on the school computers, mate, when you were in like...
Oh, yeah, dude. We found, like, this was back when... it was kind of the wild west of, like, the internet. So, you know, they were only just figuring out, like, oh, shit, these kids are playing all these fucking games whilst we're trying to teach them shit. and the amount of VPNs that we found to get around stuff was, like, oh, dude, huge, massively huge. I remember having, like, a list of VPNs that you could just keep trying. And I remember, like... You know, they'd find, like, we'd find a new one and then the IT department would block the VPN and then, like, it would go around the school, like, oh, have you tried a fucking fatvpn.com.au and then, like, set it to Norway and shit. Anyways, it was a good time. But, like, regardless, Grizz, the fact that Miniclip's closing down, not surprising. I think a lot of the games that were sort of hosted on Miniclip were Flash games and Adobe Flash Player is no longer supported at all. Since I believe support officially ended in 2020. So I mean, it didn't fuck the web game industry because a lot of developers are just using things like Unity, which can spit out a web player file. So that's still an option, but so you can still play games in your browser, but the whole idea of Adobe Flash is no longer really supported. So
it's interesting. The article that you linked kind of says exactly that. So the article states the industry-wide push to phase out Adobe Flash been around for a while. But, Kat, this reminds me of Binding of Isaac originally coming out as a Flash game. Played on the internet as a Flash game, and then that obviously got a official PC and console release. Are any of these games good enough to have a release on something else that's not Miniclip?
Dude, do you know what? One game that comes to mind is this fucking zombie game, which I think it was called Last Man Standing or something like that. And I remember it being, there was a few games and the whole thing was like you keep going to these different safe houses and your guy would stand at the front and you'd build like barricades. And it was like, it was basically a side-scrolling thing. And these zombies would slowly walk towards your barricade. And you'd buy new guns as you go to different strongholds and all this other shit. It was a freaking good game. I can't remember what it was called. But, dude, I have all this wave of games that were... Oh, I remember this other game. I don't know if it was on Miniclip or not. It was like this fish game where you would drive this little fish around. You had to dodge all the big fish. And then you had to eat all the smaller fish that were smaller than you. And then your fish would get bigger and bigger. Dude. Until you were just like this giant fish.
I think I played that, man. Pretty sure I played that. Eh?
I can't remember what game that was, but that was wicked, dude. I remember being in,
Frenzy.
Like, could have been called Feeding Frenzy, maybe. I can't quite remember, but I do remember being in a class, and I think I'd pretty much gotten like the furthest out of everyone, and my fish was like bigger than the screen, and everyone was going fucking crazy. And our teacher was like, "What is going on over there?"
Like, "Shut the fuck up,
guys! I'm fucking feeding frenzying over here." Okay.
Now,
so good.
Now, Cap, I reckon there's a broader picture here, and I might be looking too much into this, but let me know your thoughts, right? So, gaming as a millennial, Cap, I feel like. It wasn't taboo, but you definitely weren't the cool kid if you were a gamer. I feel like it was kind of different to the way it's perceived now. Now, web games, easy. Don't need a console. Don't need a dedicated graphics card. You just fucking load it up on any browser and you're good to go. No smartphones, obviously, back then. And then come today, rise in popularity of gaming, way more accessible. Most households, I would arguably say, they have a console of some sort. Everyone's got smartphones and other bits and pieces. So Flash games, or people not having resources to play games or using a browser source, no need for that, right? So what do you reckon? Is this why these browser games are being kicked out? Because it's just because that article you've stated there has basically said that Miniclip isn't getting used. No one's using the web page. The traffic is like minimal.
Yeah. Look, I still think that those games are still kind of, you know, utilized. Maybe they're not as popular as they used to be because there are other avenues for people to have their gaming. But honestly, I think the death of Flash has fucked a lot of these sites because there's also a nostalgia factor that's basically been completely brutalized by the fact that we don't have any way to play these games. So there's a massive like historical game preservation problem here with all these Flash games that are no longer basically supported and will require someone to go and convert
them
in some
way to
be. Yeah, they're basically gone for good. So, but you definitely can't ignore the fact that I think it's like there's definitely a aspect of Miniclip and Newgrounds.
Newgrounds worked sick, dude. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Loved but that it. That was the more like risque. Like
it was pretty
had
out
some
there,
hectic
yeah.
games on there. Yeah. Like Stick Death, I think, was hosted on there, and a few other games that were just like, holy shit.
Like, lots of blood and shit.
Yeah, some early violent
sexual
games.
Themes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I kind of feel like, Grizz, that these sites were kind of really important in bringing gaming to a wider audience in general, in my opinion, because they were easy.
Yeah.
So it's sad to see them go. But I do think, I mean, maybe there is an aspect of, I don't know. I kind of feel, Grizz, that maybe the reason these sites aren't as popular anymore is because, like, people expect a higher quality gaming experience these days. Do you think maybe there's something there?
Yeah, I agree. I definitely agree. Yeah, and I feel like the, as I was saying before, but the rise of popularity in gaming, I think, you know, you'd be struggling to find a kid now that doesn't game in some way, shape or form, whether it's Roblox or Minecraft, whatever else.
Yeah.
And yeah, as you are exposed to more video games, your expectations around quality probably is a bit more.
But so. I'd probably also argue, Grizz, that maybe so a lot of these sites were kind of mostly targeted at kids for the most part or younger people. Most of those people are using smart devices now, so they're just going to go and load an app up rather than go to a website and then load a game up because it's one less thing they got to worry about, right? Or, you know, I think games are much more savvy at being like more attractive to younger players in the sense that, you know, they're free to play and, you know, they are much more kind of in-depth game experience. Look at Fortnite, for example. You know, obviously there's the V-Buck option and stuff like that. Like, well, not to say that in small indie games aren't worth playing, but from a kid's perspective, why would I go and play that fucking 2-pixel game when I could go and play Fortnite that has all these cool skins and that
and
everyone
Fortnite,
else is playing
dude,
it?
We've said this before, but it's basically on every platform known to man, you know?
Absolutely.
On Switch.
Yeah.
On your tablets and stuff like that as well. Dude, you know you can play mobile RuneScape? I actually didn't know that.
Yeah. Didn't you? What?
No,
serious?
I did not know that. Yeah, I did not know that at all.
It's massive. People play the shit out of that game. It's nuts. Like, I think it's interesting to see RuneScape. And I think RuneScape was hosted on Miniclip at once upon a time, FYI.
Really?
But,
yeah, right.
Yeah, once upon a time. But I think RuneScape had its massive kind of revitalization, you know, because I think it died off and then, it's just like, you know, it's had a massive, because it did come to an app form, right? Like, and maybe, again, this comes back to this whole idea of the kind of appification of gaming from, you know, removing them from kind of web repositories like Miniclip and most gamers kind of just going towards the, you know, native app solution because it plays natively on your phone or whatever. And, you know, if I'm going to play a small little random game, I'd probably rather just play it on my iPhone or my Android phone or my tablet or whatever, you know. So regardless, though, I mean, it's sad to see these sites go away. I hope that someone out there is looking after the content. See, Pav's got RuneScape on his phone. If you're watching live, you'll
he actually does, I bet. See, that
he's
going to
go and do some lobby farming.
It is RuneScape.
There you go.
Holy shit, mate. There
but they've it's not only like the more recent RuneScape, it's also old school RuneScape as well. So they got both versions on there. Classic RuneScape.
Super popular right now, right? Old school RuneScape. Nuts.
Big time. Mm. I mean it's the classic, you know, like I can do everything. You know, it's got all these cool trade skills and I don't know. I think RuneScape has this beautiful implementation where people don't care that it takes them literally fucking years to get levels in this RPG game, whereas
nuts.
I feel like a lot of other games don't get that free pass, you know, like I'm pretty sure to go from the max level for a lot of RuneScape games of RuneScape skills is 99, right? And I believe like the XP required to go from 98 to 99 is like virtually the same amount to get from 1 to 99 or something ridiculous. So it's something in those realms. It might not be exactly correct. Maybe if you know and you're listening at home and you're like, Capo, you fucking idiot, I'm going to send him an email. Send us an email and tell us the actual fucking, I don't know, the actual rate of XP gain. But, yeah, anyways, going back to the mini clip thing, Grizz. Sad to see it go. I hope that there's someone out there preserving this data, and maybe one day we might see someone try and restore these old... I don't know. I think it's just a nice thing. I mean, obviously, it's probably not the most lucrative thing to be hosting a massive database full of games that, you know, take up space somewhere on a data center, and it costs money. And if people aren't, you know, playing the games or buying subs to some sort of subscription service, yeah, you're going to be losing cash, so... But anyways, c'est la vie.
Put it on Sayonara. The Xbox Game Pass, Cap. They've got everything else there, mate.
True. Yeah, true. Absolutely. All right. There you go. Now, Grizz, the Payonetta dispute. Have you heard anything about this?
I read into this today, and this kind of fucking blows my mind a little bit. But yeah. Talk me through it, Cap. Talk me through it, mate.
So I'm going to give you the too long didn't read version of this, because there's a lot of aspects and it kind of still seems like the jury's out. But okay, so obviously Bayonetta, massive Nintendo property. It's you know, it's very well loved. Its fan base is quite large, and they've got the third iteration coming out soon. And so, you know, obviously you want to get your voice actors in to do the voices. And, so Helena Taylor, the voice of Bayonetta, recently came out and said that she was offered $4,000 to do the voice work for Bayonetta 3. Now, that was the initial tweet that she made, or, you know, video. She basically said, boycott these guys because it's just, you know, this is ridiculous, yada, yada, yada. But, I mean, as time has sort of come along, it's kind of hard to keep up with what's going on. It seems like some insiders were saying actually what kind of happened was, you know, there's a bit of back and forth between Helena Taylor and Platinum Games, who are the developers, basically said, look, let's try and buff this up a little bit. We'll give you, you know, we'll do sessions over a week, and we'll offer you basically what was effectively $15,000 in total across that week for recording. Now, she obviously wasn't stoked about it. She then responded and wanted a six-figure sum, arguing that, you know, now she said that it was in one of her tweets, Bayonetta was a 400 and something million dollar IP property. I don't know how true that is. Maybe it's in that realm, but I can understand.
It is a successful property though.
It's a highly successful property. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, Platinum Games have been fairly quiet on this. In the end, communications broke down. now, there was kind of this aspect to it, Grizz, that so the lead game designer of Bayonetta is a Japanese man, and he has this Twitter account where if you try to speak to him in English on Twitter, he blocks you, and he basically calls you an insect and says, don't talk to me in English, you insect. And so this is the kind of person that she may have been having to deal with in terms of like sort of money negotiations. So pretty hectic guy.
So did heaps of people on Twitter just go and fucking send him messages to get blocked?
Yeah, and basically just responds with like in Japanese saying, don't talk to me in English, you insect. So that's the kind of, you know, person you're trying to negotiate pay with. But look, ever since this has come out, like there's been kind of a little bit of to and fro from insiders because they've had, what's his name? Jason Schreier, you know, legendary gaming reporter, sort of with his insider knowledge and hookups on the inside, you know, he's the inside scoop guy. So it's kind of hard to figure out who's talking shit and who's not. Now, Helena, what's her name again? Helena Taylor.
Yeah,
Helena.
I just thought I'd quickly add to her request, Cap. She wanted a six-figure sum as well as residuals as well.
Yes. So, which I guess is royalties. Is that what that is?
Yeah. So if the game does well, then you get paid a portion of the profits, essentially.
Right.
Or
okay.
Or something. Yep.
Yeah, so basically they said no fucking way.
Said, see you later, and, nerd.
Yeah. Now, to give you guys some, like, I guess, context, I don't – voice actors don't get paid amazingly well. Mm. I know one of the guys who did a bunch of voice work for what's it called? Breath of the Wild, I believe, like, he only made, like – $3,000 for a shitload of voice work. So they're not paid particularly well. Now, there's a lot of problematic shit here, but I guess this is kind of the going rate, and they weren't happy to pay her that much money, but also you could have argued that Helena Taylor's voice work was an identity kind of thing for the game, so maybe they should have paid it better. Regardless, here nor there, she's kind of had a few more Twitter interactions because she kind of at one point just went, no, not fucking talking about this anymore. Like, you know, I've told you my side of the story. And then she came back the last couple of days and then added a bunch of stuff that kind of contradicted a lot of her earlier sort of sayings about what had happened. So it's kind of hard to know what has really happened because no one on the inside on Platinum Games is really saying anything. Mm-hmm. And then Helena Taylor's saying all this stuff that's kind of backtracked and a bit weird. But anyways, regardless, Jennifer Hale has taken over the role instead. And Helena Taylor. Again, context. Jennifer Hale is another legendary voice actor. Now, what has she done off the top of my head? She has done a lot of shit, FYI. Like she was in Johnny Bravo, all these classic, like,
loads of stuff. Yeah.
You know, all kinds of shit. Now, I just want to see if I can find. Here we go. Yeah, she was in Johnny Bravo. She's done Ben 10, Kim Possible, Avatar, Batman, G.I. Joe, Scooby Doo. Like, she's in all kinds of shit. Now, when it comes to video games, she's done Star Wars, Metal Gear Solid, Baldur's Gate. She's done.
Gee, I wonder what they paid her to do it.
Well, here's the thing. They definitely would have paid her more. I'm positive. Yeah. There's another aspect to this. Helena Taylor's only ever done voice work for Bayonetta. Not to say that you shouldn't pay anyone, you know, based on their previous experience and stuff, but I think that's another issue that was kind of being had here. Just to kind of continue on, like, honestly, Jennifer Hale's, like, sort of video game biography is out of control. There's so many games in here and shitloads that you would recognize. Gears of War 3, Diablo 3, Guild Wars 2, Bioshock, The Last of Us. Yeah, it's crazy. Mm-hmm. Anyways, so she's taken over the role, and in response, Taylor said, "I wish her all the joy in the world. I wish her all the jobs, but she has no right to say she is the voice of Bayonetta. I created that voice. She has no right to sign merchandise as Bayonetta." So, yeah, she basically has massively cracked the shits. Maybe for good reason, maybe not. We don't really know what's fucking going on. But, yeah, crazy, crazy shit.
So just to add, Cap, this game releases October 28th, so we're talking like 4 days. And this is a direct statement that Taylor said in one of the videos. She said, "If you are someone who cares about people, who cares about the world around you, who cares about getting hurt with these financial decisions, then I urge you to boycott this game." That video had 9.5 million views on Twitter.
Yeah, like, crazy.
Significantly took off, which is not good for a game that's releasing in 4 days when this kind of stuff is around. So it's amazing what someone's word like that can mean. But I want to talk a little bit about the residuals thing here, Cap, because I think that this is something that should be in people's contracts when they're doing things like voice work and other bits and pieces.
I agree.
So you mentioned Sean Chiplock, who's the guy from Breath of the Wild. And yes, he landed $3,000 for that job. And when that game took off, he didn't see any more than $3,000, which to me is just fucking bizarre. Another one is the guy for Cyberpunk 2077 only got paid $4,000. He acted some of the voice parts in that. So around this whole thing where Taylor came out and kind of said her piece, a bunch of other voice actors kind of came out and said, yeah, look, it is an issue with voice acting in gaming. Here's some of the things that we've earned on projects that are clearly successful. Now, they brought up the conversation around residuals. So what this is it's compensation when your video game outperforms expectations. So basically paying people when a game is successful. And apparently this is kind of common in other industries. Around this type of product where if you exceed expectations, then you get paid residuals for your, I don't know, artwork on a particular thing. Like in other industries, this is a reasonably common thing, but it isn't in voice acting, which I find interesting. What are your thoughts, Cap? Do you think this is something that needs to change?
It kind of mirrors a lot of like other issues in the video game industry. Like recently Kotaku had a massive strike for its journalism kind of sector because they just weren't getting paid well, you know, really poor kind of employee outcomes. You know, we've had issues with, you know, companies like Blizzard and them not wanting to be have any unions involved because, you know, this, that, and whatever else. I don't know. I just think gaming is this weird Wild West where it hasn't quite normalized and settled. Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, yeah, it's I weird. I think...
I guess there's probably like no union. Exactly. As I was going to say, there's no like union that's pushing fair wages and bits like that. And I know that you've spoken to me before about how little game devs earn and that kind of thing as well. And I feel like in the last year, we've seen that definitely come to light more. And developers coming out and saying, oh, we're going to pay our devs more and we're going to do this more for our devs and bits and pieces like that. So it's interesting how it's slowly coming out. Slightly controversial, Cap. But do you think there is any pay gap here? Is this a? Do you know what
hard
I mean?
To say because it's a female role, right? So I'm not too sure. It'd be interesting to like compare someone like Travis Barker and someone Travis Barker, something, one of the big head honcho, big Mad Dog VA guys, to someone like even Jennifer Hale to see what that's like, but. I'm not too sure. I mean, obviously, it's a worldwide problem, you know, and, you know, Troy Baker is the one. Yeah, thanks. Brain fart. But, yeah.
Maybe, Brad.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. But honestly, I think this is mostly just a voice acting problem, Grizz. Like, I think the big thing is, like, the internet has kind of fucked voice acting, right? Because people can do it from home. There's shitloads of people who want to do it, you know, as a career option. And, you know, again, because they can do it from home, I think there's probably a market saturation and maybe they're like, well, if you don't want it, I'll just go on Fiverr and find someone to do it. You know, not, I'm sure it's not that easy, but it's kind of, it's generally pretty easy to go and find someone's like, you know, voiceover reel that they have on YouTube and quickly find another voice actor. I hate to be reductionist on like voice acting as a talent. But
I think, just
reality,
to be clear, I reckon voice acting for video games is a completely different kettle of fish for voice acting for, say, an animated show or a movie. I think the work conditions would be completely different.
Yeah.
I'd love to know the pay discrepancy.
But honestly, like, yeah, but also when you've got guys like Tom Hanks doing voice acting for Toy Story, of course there's going to be, they're going to treat him differently to, you know, Helena Taylor, who's done Bayonetta 3 and nothing else, you know? So I just think it's an overall problem. I hate to really take a side here because I feel like we really don't have the full story, though I don't want to be anti-victim because I think it's important to support people if they have something to say. Obviously we need to know both sides of the story and go from there, but regardless, I think voice acting is this really weird ecosystem where there is an oversaturation of people who will do things to be paid, and I think it's really easy for people to find other people to do those jobs. And Helena Taylor doesn't own the IP, she doesn't own the voice, so she has no rights to it. And Platinum Games is fully aware of that, and as such, they just went ahead and found someone else. So, yeah.
As you would.
Yeah, exactly. So, look, overall, yeah, it's very interesting. I hope that we can continue to kind of look after employees and sort of video game workers in the sense that maybe we get more unionization because, I don't know, look, unionization could be a double-edged sword, but I think for the most part in video games, I think we need to see more of it because I think it's really important for employees to be supported in their workplace. But, yeah, the Payonetta scandal, it continues. We'll keep you up to date. But, yeah, very tense.
I reckon
pay disputes.
A residuals cut for when a game is really successful is something that they should look into.
I think that would be a fairly minimum thing to do. Like, but then again, Grizz, you know, like the programmer who, you know, programmed Link's fucking, you know, sword. I mean, he's not going to see a residual, is he? Or they? You know, yeah. Like, where do you draw that line? Like, what makes voice actors so special?
Yeah, I guess he can't be given residuals to every fucking Tom, Dick, and Harry.
Yeah, you'd be like, well, that sword swing, you know, that's his iconic sword swing that I developed and designed and everything else. So when am I going to see some residuals? Mm. I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, it's really hard to draw the line. I am certainly not an expert on this, but I just hope there's more fair industry stuff in the future.
The pay, just really quickly before you do move on, the pay would be different, I would imagine, to a developer than a voice actor. The voice actors are usually pulled in for one small little snippet.
No, and that's super correct. Like, obviously,
devs, you know, are at a full-time wage that are fucking supported by the studio, probably, and stuff like that. Maybe.
Look, acting's a fucking hard gig, dude. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying they don't deserve it. I'm just saying, like, it's, you know, it's hard to. I don't know. I don't know what the way forward is for something like that. But I think unions could help. Basically, absolutely, and ensure people get paid correctly. But yeah, so there you go. All right, Grizz, now. Konami. You're familiar with Konami? Our really good friends who kicked Kojima out of the Metal Gear Solid, seat, the throne. He said, nope, no longer shall you have, you know, artistic rights over our IP. We're going to instead turn it into... gambling pinball machines, pachinko machines, and we're going to completely exit the gaming industry. And sayonara, gamers, if you want to see your favorite IPs continue to live on, you're going to have to gamble your money for it.
See you later, gamers. I hear Konami make Silent Hill, don't they, Cap?
They do. And guess what, Grizz?
What?
They're making a lot of Silent Hill again. They have... fairly randomly just kind of jumped back into video gaming as an actual, like, you know, not pachinko machines, not gambling sites, not all this other shit that they've seemed to have, you know, sort of scooted onto pre-COVID. But I don't think business was going too well over COVID for them because people couldn't go and play on pachinko machines and et cetera. So they needed to maybe do a bit of a pirouette back to what they did back in the olden days. And
video gamales, yeah.
Yeah, video gamales. So Konami's back, and they are ready to game by the looks of things, Grizz. Now, they released the Silent Hill Transmission, which was a massive Silent Hill-themed kind of, I don't know, like Nintendo Direct-style kind of here's what we're doing with Silent Hill kind of thing. Pretty boring in between the major announcements. Like, I don't know if you watched any of the actual transmission itself, Grizz, but yeah, it was.
I watched the trailers for some of the stuff, little bits and pieces.
They had like a in between thing, you know, in between all the trailers, being like, you know, this is what we're doing, blah, 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 blah. And it was just like really, like, it was just super filler and it was just such a waste of time. I hope
was
no
it
one
not
else had
good,
to go through
Cap? Was it not great, mate?
Oh,
was
dude,
it,
the trailers? Okay, obviously we're going to dive into that shortly. The trailers look baller. Like, yeah, I'm good, all aboard the fucking Silent Hill train. But, yeah, the interstitial stuff between these trailers were fucking boring. So, yeah, save yourself a lot of minutes and just go and watch the trailers. But, yeah, basically... Everyone at home listening, there is a shitload of Silent Hill stuff. So I'm just going to quickly sort of roll off what we're expecting. We've got Silent Hill 2 Remake, which is a remake of Silent Hill 2. Probably fan favorite for a lot of people, I would have thought.
Yep.
We have Silent Hill Townfall. Yeah.
Silent 2 Remake is Triangle Head, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Triangle Head.
Triangle Head. He's back.
It's your boy. He's back. He's returned. So we've got Silent Hill 2 Remake. We've got Silent Hill Townfall, which is another game. Silent Hill F. That's the name of it. F in the chat. I don't know what's going on there, but anyways, it's literally called Silent Hill F.
I reckon they posted that and just forgot to finish the word. Do you reckon?
Yeah. Silent Hill. They should call it Silent Hill Frickin' Scary.
Silent Hill Fuck It.
Silent Hill Farkin. I'll play that. That sounds fucking great. They've got Silent Hill Ascension. Return to Silent Hill, and that's pretty much everything. Now, let's just sort of go through these one by one, Gris. So let's start with Silent Hill 2 Remake. Okay, now, did you watch the trailer?
No. But I read some notes about the trailer, so I'm all over it, mate. Don't worry about that. This is a ground-up rebuild of the 2001 original, right, Cap?
Full 4K, and, dude, it looks real nice. Looks really good. You know, obviously, these kind of nostalgic trailers for the remakes, they kind of do comparative stuff to the original game to kind of pique your interest. And, yeah, it's looking really good. It's looking very sexy. You know, all your classic Silent Hill 2 shit. I mean, I've never played it, but I've watched speedruns and stuff of Silent Hill, so I'm familiar with the game and the structure. But, you know, he's walking around with a little light on his chest and all that
James
kind of
Sutherland,
shit.
Isn't it? Cap, James Sutherland.
James Sunderland, your protagonist. Sunderland, and your antagonist being Mr. Triangle Man.
Triangle
Man. So he's coming back. He's gonna triangleize you with his big sword.
He'll get you.
Yeah, he'll fucking get you. So that's freaking. I thought that looked really nice. Now, Chris, they've got another thing in the works called Silent Hill Townfall. Now, this is.
Before you jump on, Cap, really, really quickly, mate, this is a PS5 exclusive.
Is it?
It is. It's a PS5 exclusive, mate. Yeah. So that's definitely a draw card for
interesting
for your PS5.
Do you know
nerds.
What? That is such a fucking Konami move. In the sense that, well, I think Silent Hill, the original one, was probably only on PlayStation anyway. But like, I just feel like Konami will do anything to make as much money as possible, even if it means being exclusive and being super fucking just dog shit fucking human beings. Anyways. Sorry for my little Konami rant, but honestly, yeah, looks good. So, yeah,
looks
have a look at the trailers, see what you guys reckon. Now, they have Silent Hill Townfall, another spin-off game, I guess set in the same universe. It's pinned as a unique take on the Silent Hill franchise from a highly decorated double. Now, they put double A developer rather than triple A developer in this. So, I mean, are they... like, not as good as developers. What's going on here?
The article I read, it was a BAFTA award-winning no-code studio. So there you go.
Yeah.
What is the BAFTA awards? I don't even know. Do you know, Cap?
BAFTA's an English kind of like media awards show and I think they do not just gaming, it's kind of like media in general, so movies and TV and stuff. But now, the interesting thing here, Grizz, is Annapurna. Interactive publishing this. So, Annapurna have done things like Stray, Outer Wilds, What Remains of Edith, what's his name? Edith Finch. What else have they got? Basically a shitload of indie games. And, you know, very well-loved indie games. They did Journey, stuff like that. So, very, very good publisher. So I'm actually pretty excited to see what they can do for this. The trailer was kind of just like a kind of teaser, no gameplay or anything.
It was
pretty small. It was kind of like a CRTV thing going on and, dude speaking over the top of it. So, that's that. Now, that's Silent Hill Townfall. Now, the next one, Grizz, Silent Hill F in the chat. This is what I think looks the best. In my opinion, of all the showings that we saw.
This is a brand new franchise, Cap, I hear.
I mean, obviously Silent Hill is the franchise, but it's a new iteration in the Silent Hill franchise. It's completely separate to everything else. It's another spin-off, but it is set in 1960s Japan, I don't know if you watched this trailer, Grizz, but it kind of follows this sort of like Japanese schoolgirl walking through this abandoned town, and it's slowly being overtaken by this rot kind of stuff, and then all of a sudden she's kind of like overtaken by this kind of rotting flower
plants,
stuff,
isn't it?
It's like flowers, it kind of reminded me a bit of who's the Elden Ring rot lady boss?
Melania.
Melania. Remind me of Melania.
Yeah
I think so. Melania. So there you go, there's your Elden Ring mention for this podcast. It kind of reminded me of that kind of like flowery kind of red rot kind of thing going on. And it was super creepy. Like at the very end, she's like just overwhelmed by all these flowers and then her face just falls off. It was like, ugh, gross.
Gruesome as fuck, yeah. It's good, isn't it?
Now, this particular thing, this story Again, I think this looks the best based on the teaser trailers. It just looked really cool. I was really digging the vibe. It looks like it's probably going to be fucking terrifyingly scary and also kind of got a psychological horror kind of thing going, which, you know, obviously is what Silent Hill's known for. It kind of reminded me of horror manga artist. Junji Ito, which is like classic Japanese manga horror. Very, nice. Very much reminded me of that. So if, you know, if people at home know who that is, I think you're probably going to get your Ito fix from this. Very, very cool kind of, I don't know, artistic direction. Now, the person who is writing the narrative for this is a guy called, his pen name is Ryukishi 07. Now, I had no fucking idea who this guy was. But basically, he just writes a shitload of manga, like psychological horror manga. And that's what he does. And apparently he's very well known. He's writing this. So if you know who that is, you're probably going to be fucking stoked.
Might love it.
There you go.
Apparently there's some ex-Resident Evil devs, Cap, as well.
Just be fucking ping-ponged between Silent Hill and Resident Evil.
Absolutely.
From now on, basically. But yeah, look, that trailer looked really cool. So yeah, I think that looks really exciting. I think that's probably my pick of the bunch. I mean, obviously, you know, Silent Hill 2 remakes, obviously, everyone's going to be excited for that. But this was the thing that I got really excited about. Now, Grizz, we've also got two movie/TV adaptions coming as well. The first one is a sequel to the 2006 Silent Hill movie, which, can I just say, is an excellent video game movie, highly worth a watch. That movie was fucking pretty scary back in the day. I don't know how it holds up these days, but they got the same director, Christoph Gans, working on this movie. More details coming soon. But, dude, Silent Hill, the original movie, had fucking Sean Bean in it. Can you remember that?
Who the Ned fuck Stark. Is... Oh, really, dude?
Yeah,
really?
Game of Thrones.
I do not
your boy.
Remember that, mate.
You know, from fucking James Bond. He was 009, I think. Yeah, dude. What a fucking guy. Hopefully he's back.
There was another Silent Hill movie, Cap, as well, wasn't there? 2012, that apparently was a bit shit.
Yeah, I think it was a bit average. I'm much more interested in a sequel to the original one, not that one. So that looks pretty cool. There's a bit of a teaser thing. It's more of an announcement, and it kind of has Christoph Gans talking about the earlier title and what they're kind of going to be doing with the next one. So, but it's not like a full trailer or anything. Now, the other interesting thing they've got, Grizz, is this thing called Silent Hill Ascension, which is penned as an immersive project where participants around the world will control the characters in a new Silent Hill story. Basically, a Let's Play Pokemon version of a new Silent Hill story that will be live on multiple platforms.
Oh my god, dude.
It's kind of fucking crazy. So basically,
how do they run that? Through PC?
I have no idea. Like, it might be on Twitch. It might be done, I guess, on some kind of streaming platforms. I'm guessing Twitch stuff. But basically, I guess the idea is people will probably vote in some sort of chat window as to what the protagonists and stuff will do.
There's a game that's kind of like similar to that story-driven gaming that people were playing on Twitch for a while.
Yeah, I know the one you're talking about, and I can't think of it because I didn't play it. But there are definitely other horror games that follow a similar kind of shebang. So basically, I guess the interesting thing about this is like anything that happens in this particular like project via chat vote basically will become the canon of the story. And that's
it.
You won't see any alternative stuff. Like, it'll be all decided by chat, which I think is pretty fucking cool. So that's being done by Bad Robot Games, which I think Bad Robot might have done, like, some of the Star Wars stuff and a few other, like, entertainment companies, but looks very interesting.
Hey, Cap, just on this kind of gaming video media crossover, I just wanted to quickly add a little tidbit on here around the success, if it's done properly, of that marketing strategy. And just pulling out the success that Cyberpunk has had recently around the release of Edgerunners alongside that game, bringing people back in. So I wonder, I think this is like becoming something that's a little bit more common now. You know, we saw League of Legends and Dota, amongst others, coming out with little Netflix series here and there. And Silent Hill, obviously talking about this film adaptation. They've had videos coming out for a while, but wouldn't be surprised whether they have a little bit of smarts behind the release of the Silent Hill 2 remake and then this second film coming out as well. Yeah.
Yeah. How clever. It's, I think the timing's going to be interesting, right? Like, where do they all kind of sit amongst one another? Like, how long are we going to be waiting to get these games and when will the TV stuff kind of, I guess, fit in with whatever release schedule they've got? So, I mean, obviously, there's more to come with, I guess, release dates and all the other bits and pieces. But I tell you what, Grizz, I was actually very pleasantly surprised with the quality of the stuff that I saw from this announcement set. I did not expect Konami to do anything that looked good, in quite honestly, because I mean their last Metal Gear Solid offering was that weird one that they did without Kojima. I can't remember what it was called, but it was just utter garbage and an obvious cash grab. So it's very interesting to see them get back into hardcore gaming, presumably with games that won't have much monetization outside of just buying the game again.
Yeah, single games.
Fucking touch wood there, but we'll see how it goes.
Maybe that last one seems a bit of a strange adaptation. Maybe there's some kind of weird monetization in there, but
maybe. Yeah, I don't know. Knows. But I mean, obviously, the return to Silent Hill will be a movie, and then we've got. There's obviously, we don't know much about Townfall. I guess that kind of looks like maybe there might be something going on with monetization. Maybe they do episodic stuff or something with that. But yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see how they monetize these because, I mean, yeah, again, if I know Konami, there's one thing they like and it's money, and they tend to follow their noses when it goes to money. So I'd be very surprised to see them not chase the bucks, but we'll see what happens. Very excited for these games, especially for Silent Hill F in the chat. I think that looks really, really cool. That's probably my pick of the bunch. What about you, Grizz? What are you excited for in there?
I reckon the remake will be great. PS5 exclusive. Next gen console game. And we know we're going to be talking about this in a second, but we know that the Resident Evil remakes, like Resident Evil 2, was very well received. So if it's a remake that's in a similar vein to that, where they hold true to the original and build upon that, I think it would be great, mate.
Absolutely. Creepy, as you mentioned, Grizz. We won't linger too much on this, but yeah, basically as soon as Konami went ahead and did this, it probably caught off a few people off guard, but Capcom basically went, yeah, actually we've got some stuff to show as well. And then they showed off a massive new Resident Evil 4 gameplay trailer, which was about 5 or 6 minutes. I watched the whole thing. Looks just like Resident Evil 4, basically, on with higher graphic fidelity and very evocative of the nostalgia of that game. One thing I'm really excited for that game, Grizz, is the boss fight that happens in the boat. I don't know if you know much about that, but there's like this mutant fish that lives in the lake and you've got to go and fight this massive mutant fish while you're driving this little dinghy around. And it's like, I don't know, there's something about that boss fight I just find so comical but also terrifying. Very excited for that.
I feel like there was one similar to that in Village, wasn't there? Something similar, and they're just like yelling at you.
I can't quite remember what happened in Village. I think I got maybe halfway through, and that's as far as I got.
Resident Evil 4 is 17 years old, mate. Yep. 17 years old. Old game.
Yeah, so, you think about that, it makes you feel fucking old, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. The success of Resident Evil 2 remake will be great. So, yeah, obviously holding this in high regard as well, hoping for it to be good. Is it the
Capcom
same?
Capcom remakes have been good.
It's a Capcom. Yeah, okay. Yeah. So do they get an external party to help them out with their remakes, or is it literally?
I assume it's all internal. I'm not too sure, in all honesty, but I would have thought that the same teams working on the earlier remakes probably are working on this because they've had a lot of success with those, the remakes of 2 and is it 3? I think 3 was remade as well. So did they remake 1? I don't think they did. Maybe they're saving that for a little bit later.
I don't think so. Maybe it's in the back pocket, mate.
Yeah, they wait to bring that one out. But so there you go. Anyways, Capcom interrupted Konami's transmission with its own transmission of its own. So. Go and check out the gameplay trailer of RE4 if that's your shtick. Now, as always, every week we host an OGR poll on the Twitter. Okay, you guys can go and follow the Twitter and get your vote in every week. This week we wanted to know which horror game setting would you least like to spend the night in? Okay, and now, Grizz, do you want to go through the options we had?
Absolutely, mate. We had Silent Hill in the Silent Hill. The top, Raccoon City from Resident Evil. USG Ishimura from Dead Space. And Matt Massive Asylum from Outlast is the four options, Cap.
Yeah. Now walk us through the breakdown, right. Grizz.
From the bottom, we had Matt Massive Asylum from Outlast down the bottom, taking up 15% of the vote. And then the next up, we had Raccoon City from Resident Evil, which is what I actually voted for, Cap. I thought only because, you know what, I haven't played Dead Space. And
yeah.
Silent Hill was probably the next closest one for me. So we had Silent Hill next, and then up atop, taking the cake, Cap, we had Dead Space, USG, Ishimura. Yeah,
I voted for that. Because I kind of, like, from a logical perspective, Grizz, you can escape a city, you can escape a town, you can escape an asylum. How the fuck do you escape space? You don't. You're stuck on this fucking spaceship, you're knackered. Unless someone saves you.
I tell you what, dude, the Silent Hill through the school and stuff was pretty fucked, though.
Creepy. Like, very creepy.
Pretty creepy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, we so had a, guys.
Sorry, we had a couple of notable comments in there, Cap. One of them was from Nibby talking about the house from Resident Evil 7 with the crazy family, I think is.
That would be pretty gross to have to be a part of.
Yep.
You know, I don't think I'd enjoy being there either. Matty XFF said Outlast had him traumatized the most. Moosey echoing what I kind of said, but he said it was a toss-up between Dead Space and Outlast. Both are quite unpleasant, but I feel the Asylum has more options to GTFO, again, like I said, compared to being in space. Also, Dead Space was super fun, and I'm keen to revisit ASAP. Well, good news, they're bringing out a remake, and it's looking really fucking sexy. There was some new video stuff of the remake recently, so go and check that out. It's looking really good comparatively to the earlier games. So I think a graphics engine update to that story is going to be really good for it. So very excited. But yeah, anyways, OGR Twitter poll. Go and follow Oceanic Gaming Radio on twitter.com/OGR show, I believe is the place you want to go. So yeah, there you go. Now, Grizz. New Final Fantasy trailer.
Ooh, yeah.
So this is for Final Fantasy 16. Did you end up watching it?
I did. I did have a look at this, Cap. We saw a lot of cool stuff in there. Probably the highlights for me were the insane fucking boss fighty things at the end where we got to see little snippets of combat and things happening. And just we kind of watched this last time, Cap, and both of us were in agreement that it looked a lot darker than the previous games, just the art style in general. And this is still the same for me. I think this is really building hype around the game. I quite enjoyed it. We saw some new characters and some dialogue as well, Cap.
Yep. I think it was interesting. They kind of showed off like each of the major nations within the sort of game's lore and I guess the leaders of those nations and how those leaders seem to embody a particular god / icon. And they are... what were they called? They were called like a... there was a special name for someone who commands the usage of these gods, basically. I can't remember what they were called. It started with a D, but regardless, looked really good. The I tell you what, though, one thing I was thinking of, Grizz, is like, okay, it looks really good. Don't get me wrong. But can you remember the days where, you know, when a new Final Fantasy came out, it was like absolutely like game-shattering within the graphics department? Like people were... shitting their pants.
Final Fantasy VIII, I think that was PlayStation, was it 1? But I remember it being like, I remember the cinematics in it were just absolutely mind-blowing. Oh, absolutely nuts.
Yeah.
On your and five like, discs I remember, or whatever it was.
Yeah, like all those crazy amounts of discs. And it was like, you've finished disc 1, insert disc 2. You know, like just crazy shit, dude. And I guess... I just feel like, I mean, the graphics, again, they're good, but like I kind of looked at Silent Hill and I was like, Silent Hill's looking pretty good too. I feel like we don't really have that anymore with Final. It's not known for its graphic, I don't know, pushing the boundaries anymore. But I mean, obviously it's known for its RPG Final Fantasy kind of kick, I guess. But ultimately, I think it looks really good. I'm getting, you know, fairly reasonable kind of Game of Thrones vibes from it, Grizz.
Dude, it's so much more violent. We see someone get beheaded and then a young child just sprayed with blood in this in the cutscene, mate. So
I think they've seen Game of Thrones and gone, I think we need to do this with Final Fantasy, which I'm all for, by the way. I think it's a great idea. So very keen for that. But yeah, it looks really good. So go and check it out. It's on YouTubes and stuff like that. So yeah. Very keen. Now, Grizz, another game that's coming soon, in fact, a lot sooner than Final Fantasy, and boy, are the early previews looking tasty, real tasty. God of War Ragnarok, Grizz. Now, give me a couple of the early preview quotes, if you got them.
So, Cap, this comes out November 9th, mate, so we're talking like, what is that?
What is that? November... It's like 2 weeks.
2 weeks away, and holy shit, yeah, so far people are absolutely raving about the game in the early previews, saying that it's just built on what the original God of War had and has made it even better. Here's just a couple of snippet statements from some of the early PS1
reviews. No spoilers, obviously, so don't worry at home. It's all good.
No spoilers. One of the best games ever made. Made me love gaming again. Improves on the original in every single way. The blueprint of what a sequel should be. This is an interesting one. The dual sense while playing this game was better than sex. It is everything I'd ever wanted from a game. So there you
go. Sounds like someone who's never had sex before.
Fucking lit.
I think the one that I like the most is it made me love gaming before. Made me love gaming again. Hang on. Like, when someone says that and you're a gaming journalist, what's happened, man? Are you okay? Do you want to talk about it? What the fuck? I don't know how someone says it. I mean, obviously, it's a sensationalist quote. I get that. But still, I found that quite funny. I mean, do you know, I'm quite interested to see what they're doing with the reactive controls and stuff, Grizz, and like the, you know, the triggers and stuff for the Sony PlayStation 5.
Yeah, the haptic
5.
Feedback things. Yeah.
Like, I'm very curious to see how they use that control in interesting ways.
For like Returnal, Ratchet & Clank did a pretty good job as well. Returnal and Ratchet and Clank felt like the two that really used it well. But you know what, Cap? I feel like nothing has used it as well as that the game that sits inside the PS5 when you first pick it up, which is like the feasibility.
Astro's
Playroom. Yeah, I feel like they showed off a lot of stuff in there that has yet to be explored. So I wonder what we'll see, mate. Wonder what we'll see.
Oh, it's going to be super interesting. So, I mean, look, it's looking very spicy. I'm very keen to get my hands on it. Now, one interesting thing, Grizz, is God of War Ragnarok is shipping with four different graphics modes.
Hey, before you jump into that, I just want to say one thing, Cap. At the bottom of that article that I linked around the early previews, there's a bit of talk about the game's length. Apparently, it's going to be longer than the previous one, mate. So
really?
Much they thought of splitting it into two games.
Developers well, do you know what? This doesn't surprise me, Grizz. And that doesn't surprise me. Reason being is I vaguely remember an interview saying that they wanted to do three Nordic ones, right? Mm-hmm. And then they kind of, I think what happened was they went, oh, but we want to do other god pantheons after this. I guess there's kind of like inklings that maybe Egypt might be next or something. In the earlier game.
Hell yeah.
So,
dude.
You know, really cool shit. So I guess it doesn't surprise me because I think they've kind of wanted to get the whole Ragnarok, you know, Nordic storyline over and done with earlier so they could start to work on newer shit. It doesn't surprise me that maybe the storyline's a bit bigger, but that's exciting because, a game like this and how good the story narrative quality was in the first one, if this game's better in both departments, gameplay and narrative-wise, and you're getting a longer story, dude, I am fucking... Actually, here's one question for you, Grizz. How much fucking money did Christopher Judge get paid to voice fucking Kratos?
Can we look it up and figure it out, Pav?
I don't know. Look Can anyone in chat maybe try and find that and see if that's public knowledge? But I bet he got paid a bit more than $4,000.
Absolutely. Such an iconic, a couple more than $4,000 for sure. But there is so many dialogues in that as well. Like even from the previous game, you know, you're rowing around the river and he's telling you a story and you hear like, I swear you hear like 20 different voice stories from him that are just, pretty cool.
Yeah, Very, very cool. Now, I did kind of bring it up a little bit early before Grizz super rudely interrupted me.
Sorry, mate.
No, it's just fine, mate. It's all good.
Got him.
So there's going to be four different graphics modes for this game, Grizz. So you're going to have the 4K 30fps mode, the 1080p 60fps mode, the 4K 40fps HDMI 2 required mode, and the 120fps HDMI 2.1 required mode with no resolution specified. So that must be like, 240p or something. I don't really fucking know, but still. Now, I don't know.
Cap, did you know that this is the same as Ratchet & Clank?
Oh, is that right? I had no idea.
There was an update to this, and obviously that game's already out, and there was a bunch of testing, and I just wanted to quickly share this with you because I found this interesting. But between the different modes, they talked about the end-to-end input lag between them. If you play the fidelity mode all on, 30 FPS, 60 hertz, that is your highest input lag. And then obviously your best is the performance mode. But the fidelity mode that you're talking about, which is the 40 FPS, 120 hertz, 4K, 30 FPS, is only slightly less than when your performance mode. So it's actually a good middle ground. So you sacrifice a little bit in your FPS, but you're getting a better resolution with no real hit to your end-to-end input lag. This is for Ratchet Clank, so who knows what it's going to look like for God of War, but definitely worth testing out and seeing what it feels like.
I'm pretty excited to see them aim for this 120 FPS mode because obviously, you know, that enables you to use a higher refresh rate monitor or TV. So it's pretty cool that they are kind of expanding this whole idea of graphics modes. I mean, for the longest time, Grizz, console games were just a single graphic mode. This is what you're getting, okay? Nothing more, nothing less. And now, you know, obviously with PC gaming, we can add sliders and do this and do that. And it's kind of cool to see them give you a bit more options with this, you know?
So, Cap, PlayStation monitors, mate. Are they going to be, do you think people are going to be going out to buy these 120 FPS monitors?
I definitely fucking wouldn't. They're such a waste of fucking money. I think for the same cash, you can probably get like two monitors. It does mostly the same thing. But definitely double check before you buy one of those PlayStation monitors. I don't think they're good value for money. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't believe they're particularly good. But I mean, overall, Grizz, more options, more betterer.
Fuck yeah.
Now, another thing, Grizz, to add to the God of War onslaught of shit is that, this was quite an interesting story, actually. God of War took so long, God of War Ragnarok, that is, took so long to develop that Atreus, the actor for Atreus, hit puberty and they had to, like, modulate his voice.
Dude, so he was 13 when God of War 1 was made. He's 17 now, mate. That's crazy, right? Like, that is actually fucking nuts. I kind of thought about this, Cap, right? And I kind of thought that they should have just let him have the voice cracks, mate. He's older in the game. Like, I mean, it depends on how different it is, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it depends on like this where the story takes place and you know the character's age and stuff, but I'm sure there would have been a reason why they didn't want that part of it. But what are they going to do moving forward?
Well, that's true. Well, he's going to be older, and his voice will probably even out, obviously, and maybe they'll just have him like that. But I guess just thinking about my point, you probably can't do that, Kat, because apparently they had a bit of a delay with COVID, and if you've got his voice changing over the life of the game, then just not going to happen.
Yeah, mate.
I feel like this happened to Justin Bieber, Cap. Remember? He stopped singing years, mate. And then he started bringing out music again once his voice crack was sorted out, I'm
sure. Baby.
Sure, we'll see the return.
Absolutely. Now, Grizz, lay it on me. Okay.
That is it.
One thing.
That's it.
No, hang on. This is the last thing I want to ask you. We're going to make a bet on this, all right?
Okay, bet me.
Does Kratos die in this game?
No. I don't think he does. Do you think he
will? I hope he doesn't. I will be spewing if he dies in this game.
Surely not, because what's going to happen in the next fucking God of War, mate?
Dude.
There's no Kratos.
Okay, so it's not a spoiler because the game's been out long enough now that people should fucking know, but on the wall, it shows the prophecy of Atreus killing Kratos.
Oh, yeah. Well, Atreus killing Kratos, does it?
Yes.
Atreus is, wait, I hope not too many spoilers, but Atreus is a god or something, isn't he? He's hiding
shit. He's Loki.
He's Loki, yeah. Which is the god of...
he's low-key a god.
Isn't that the god of trickery, Cap?
Is it? Yes. Loki? Yeah. I feel like I embody that as well, you know. But yes, he is the god of trickery. Well, see, okay. So Loki is the god of trickery, but I feel like he's like the whole idea of Loki as a god is kind of like not misrepresented, but he's made to be more playful in a lot of like present media. Whereas I feel like in actual Nordic mythology, he is just another fucking brutal motherfucker.
Pretty evil. That exists. Fuck, is he? Yeah,
I don't think he's evil, but I just think like a lot of Nordic stuff is like, I'd love to actually do like a full deep dive one day and just, you know, when I'm like 80 and have a lot more time on my hands, just read a shitload of Norse mythology. But what I understand, a lot of those gods just suck. Just absolutely
Zeus was
fucked
too, wasn't he? Zeus was a wanker as well.
I think Zeus was pretty fucked, but I think the Greek pantheon, they actually have a lot of nice people, whereas I think a lot of Nordic people are just kind of shit.
Yeah. Cap, maybe he has to kill him to bring him back or something. Maybe there's some.
Maybe
he comes back as a mortal.
Not
immortal, amortal or something like that. There's got to be something. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, look, and Sukai's also said it in chat. Like, Kratos has died a couple of times already. So I'm sure, you know, it is a video game story. I'm sure they could rework it so he comes back to life in the next one or some shit. I don't know. But, yeah, I hope he doesn't die, but we'll see. I mean, let's see if they maintain the prophecy. The prophecy. But yeah, so there you go. All right, that's the main topics, Chris. Very well done. DJ Francesco. Go on, Pav. Do it. No.
Do the thing.
All right.
Have you seen that?
Oh my god!
Have you seen that? Shrek when he's like, do the thing.
Yeah, that's going to be our new quickfire intro from now on. I'm pretty sure DJ Francesco said no worries.
If he listens to this episode, he's gonna fight me.
Good. Fight him for the intellectual property rights. We want it. All right. So let's jump straight into the quick fire, Grizz. Now, The Sims 4 base game is now completely free to play. The base game, free to play, ladies and gentlemen. Get onto Steam, download that shit, and then you can spend over $1,000 to buy all of the DLCs.
And that's actually a real number, isn't it, Cap? That's literally legit. The cost.
Okay, so currently it's $903.12 Australian dollars, which is a lot of dollars. For every single Sims DLC that is available on the Steam platform. Now, I will say that a lot of the DLCs are half price, etc. at the moment. So presumably the real price of all the DLCs at full cost would be over $1,000, which is honestly fucking mind-boggling. So it's nice of EA to shave, $20 off the grand total. So there you go. Pretty cool. Now, I'm just going to kind of dive straight into the next one on this one. It kind of lines up with them announcing that they are working on Sims 5, which, I mean, of course, that was in development, and it's going to be it's being worked on under the code name Project Renee or Rene, R-E-N-E. Rene?
Ooh, okay.
Rene. Yep. Maybe it's French. Maybe the Sims 5 is completely in France.
Rene.
Project Rene. Oh. Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, so there you go. Sims. Very cool.
Very popular. Nice. I like Kamale it. Right there, Capo. People will be going fucking nuts.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Grizz, you're up, baby.
So we presented a similar story of someone passing away last week, a game developer. Unfortunately, another one bites the dust. Fallout Dragon Age developer Ferret Bedouin has passed away. This guy did 10 years at Bethesda, Cap.
Oh, man, that fucking sucks.
It's no good. Too. So. Bit of a shame. Condolences to the family and the company.
Absolutely.
Dragon Age, cracker game, Cap. Very great game.
What a series. What was your favorite? Have you played all of them?
No, I think I played one of the ones that was one of the very, very firsties, mate, back in the day.
Yeah, you probably played number one, I'd say.
Yeah. There's it on, dude, I think I had it like on GOG Games or something as like a DRM-free downloadable once you buy it. It was great.
Yeah, okay. Well, they're all pretty good games, and I feel like, you know, they were probably one of the first, well, maybe Mass Effect, but, you know, they really pushed like the whole character relationship and like sexual relationship thing in video gaming. They pushed that quite hard early on. So, you know, one of the forerunners of, you know, getting your schlong out in a video game and showing it off. I don't know. I can't remember if that was actually, it was actually nudity, but there was definitely like, you know, sexual scenes.
Cyberpunk, yeah. Eat your heart out, mate.
Oh, well, I mean, there's some shit going down in that game. Holy shit. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a extra step ahead of Dragon Age. But yeah, I remember Inquisition was quite a good game. I quite enjoyed that game. It was kind of like the more open worldy Dragon Age game, the most recent one. But yeah, I mean, the story of Dragon Age is really good. So anyways, enough about that. Next story, Grizz. Obsidian founder would love to make another Fallout game. Now, these are the guys who originally owned the Fallout franchise, I believe. Maybe I'm getting that wrong. I don't think
I am. The top-down ones, like the original?
Yes, I believe they did the top-down early Fallout, so yeah. Like 1 and 2. And then I believe they sold the rights to Bethesda. Bethesda worked on 3, and then they had on Obsidian come back and do New Vegas.
Okay, so, right, gotcha.
And New Vegas, as we all know, is the best Fallout game.
So they're basically the guys that are responsible for the good Fallout games then.
Essentially, yeah. I mean, Fallout 3 was good. It was fine. Yeah. You know, and I think everyone shat their pants when Fallout came to kind of like first person 3D. But I mean, New Vegas shits all over it in terms of just like story and like side quests. And, you know, I guess in my opinion, the setting is way more interesting. But yeah, so great game. And hey, if they're going to give us New Vegas 2, I'm all about it, baby. Caging Runt in chat says, I thought 76 was the good one. Very funny, my friend. Very funny. I can't remember if I told you, Grizz, but I tried to start that game up and it didn't have any sound. And I was like, okay, this is weird. And then I tried to fix it and it was just a known bug that they just didn't fix. No sound in your game.
There's no sound
pretty
bug.
Pretty cool. Pretty good game.
Sounds pretty important.
Good.
Pretty important in a video game, Capo.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Cap, all right. Perfect Dark, mate. Did you play Perfect Dark?
Yes, great game.
Good game.
Oh, actually, dude, the main protagonist's name was Joanna, and she had, like, because she was like a secret agent or whatever, and she had her boss, and her boss was like a Sean Connery guy. He's like, Joanna. I just have that stuck in my head. It's just like the best part of that game. And then you save an alien that they call Elvis. And you just run around with this alien and then, you know, old mate's in your ear going, Joanna. Crazy game. Really, really good game, though. I actually preferred it to 007. I know some people are going to say, Capo, you're a fucking idiot. Perfect Dark was amazing. You know, there was guns that could, like, see through walls and shoot through walls and stuff. It was a really cool game.
Well, Cap, the entirety of the Nintendo 64 title Perfect Dark code has been reverse engineered, allowing for things potentially like PC versions, ports, mods, all that kind of goodness, mate. So
I tell you who's going to be excited about that, Grizz, is the Perfect Dark speedrunning community. Native, they love it when things come to native PC. So very cool. Very cool. Now, Grizz, return to Monkey Island.
Yeah.
It's been out for a little while. You haven't played it yet, I don't think, have you?
No. Too busy playing World of Warcraft, my good friend.
I'm going to make it your job to play at least the first hour of that game before you come back. All right?
Okay.
So you do that. And in the meantime, it is now the fastest selling game in the series.
That is nuts. Also, I'm so happy for Ron Gilbert. I feel like it had a lot more media attention this time. Like, it had enough time to build hype. And I reckon it would have brought in a whole new fucking range of people that didn't play the originals, that maybe they don't have a nostalgia hit, but are looking for a comedy kind of point and click adventure game. So that's cool. I'm happy.
Is it
for
on
it.
Game Pass? Is it?
Is it? I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just going to quickly open Game Pass now and just have a bit of a squeeze. But Okay. I mean, if that's, have you got Game Pass at the moment, Grizz?
No, I don't have Game Pass at the moment. But yeah, the only game I'm really playing is World of Warcraft right now. Actually, you know what, Cap? I feel like I just have been doing too much stuff, mate. I need to stop doing stuff and do some more video gamaling.
Join the fucking club, mate. So I can't see it on Game Pass. Let me just quickly. Monkey Island?
Well, no. Can I tell you what is not going to be on Game Pass?
Yep, you can tell me.
Call of Duty will not be on Game Pass for a number of years.
Right.
Due to a prior Activision Sony deal.
Right.
And it's bound by an agreement to keep COD off the service. What have you got to say about that, Capo?
Yeah, I'm sure Sony's pretty fucking stoked about that. Because I feel like they really don't want Game Pass to be a thing. And unfortunately, it is a thing. And it's doing really well for Xbox. And it's probably what has kept them in the game, so to speak.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Oh, nice, mate.
Now, I have just opened up Game Pass. Persona 5 Royal is now available on Game Pass, so that's pretty cool. They've also got Amnesia. They've just released all the Amnesia stuff on there. And there's this game called Scorn that's out there Scorn. As well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is that really weird body horror,
I know that.
Like alien kind of weird looking thing. Now, yeah, go and have a look at the trailer for that. It's kind of really weird and grotesque.
Oh, yeah, dude, we looked at that. We looked at that when there was a trailer for it, and we were looking at it going, what? It's like all super creepy. Like your guns are all like body parts and stuff, eh? And
all that kind of thing. It kind of mimics the art style of the guy who kind of drew the original Alien stuff. I can't remember what his name is, but I've definitely spoken about him before on this podcast. But yeah, it kind of follows that. Now, another thing that's on there, Grizz, is Soma.
That fantastic other scary game, mate. Game. Soma is amazing.
Yeah, so there you go. There you freaking go. Now, final one on the quickfire, Grizz. Bungie are making a PvP extraction shooter, and they're using their old IP. They're reviving it from the dead, Marathon. You might remember it. You might have loved it. If you don't remember it,
Did you play it, Cap? Did you play Marathon?
Never played it. I don't know. I don't even know what Marathon was on, but it came out. This was something that Bungie did before Halo. Old ass shit. So this is some old Bungie shit, and they're putting the defibrillator on Marathon, and they're turning it into kind of like a what's that game called?
Escape from Tarkov. Cap.
Escape from Tarkov.
I think Bungie could do a fantastic. They've got so much knowledge now, Cap, through what they've learned through Destiny 2. In looter shooters like that. Obviously, it's a bit different from your get-in, get-out, escape from Tarkov style. But, yeah, I think that this might be something to look forward to. Obviously, this is pretty early development, so we might not see this for a while to come. But, yeah, something to keep your eyes and ears out for, for sure.
Well, here's a little tidbit about Marathon, Grizz. The Marathon Trilogy is a science fiction first-person shooter game from Bungie. Primarily released for the Mac OS, can you fucking believe? Didn't know that. No wonder I didn't play it, because I never had one.
For the Mac
the
OS,
name of the series is derived from the giant interstellar colony ship that provides the main setting for the first game. The ship is constructed out of the Martian moon Deimos. So that's pretty cool. So that's the kind of thing we might expect. So pretty cool. Bungie doing some shit.
It said set to launch in or before 2025, Cap. So, a little while, mate.
Yep, hopefully I don't die before then. We'll see how that goes.
Couple of years. Good luck.
Should be all right, though. I should be all right. I've probably got a few years left. But, yeah, so there you go. That's the show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Thanks for being here, as always. Appreciate you. Now, before you go and before we go, every time we finish this show, we always like to say, wait, Pav, you still there? Where'd you go?
I can see him. He's there. Yep.
You can see him? Okay, he's disappeared from me. Anyways, tell someone about this show. Tell someone about this podcast. Share it with your family, your friends, someone you think might enjoy a little bit of Australian banter and perspective on the gaming industry, etc. We know a thing or two about games, don't we, Grizz?
Cap, Paff has disappeared. I believe so we're still close. Recording, but I can see him on the Twitch stream on his own going, like, yeah. Where the fuck are the boys? So
yeah.
I'm assuming that this is going to be going live to the what podcast, just me and you, but I believe the Twitch am stream is going to see or hear us. So,
on stream?
Interesting, mate.
Pretty classic Oceanic Gaming Radio shit happening live. So, luckily, we finished the episode before he disappeared. If this does fuck up, but anyways, long story short, thanks for being here. Tell people about us. Go and review the show. Give us 5 stars. All that other shit. You can follow us on Patreon and pay us money. I think it's just patreon.com/OGRshow or Oceanic Gaming Radio. Anyways, it actually says you disconnected from the internet on his side, which
this might be we have Aussie to fix Paff's
shit, mate. this is not okay.
Kazi said Cap's already in bed. Yeah,
not quite sure what's happening.
I actually have no idea if this is still recording. It says it's recording on my side, but anyway.
Yeah, me too. I'm pretty sure it is. Yep.
Yeah. So, all right, so follow us on Patreon. Follow us on Twitter. That's twitter.com/OGRshow.
Try to get these guys back.
We've got Discord. Go and check it out in the thing for this show in the description. Yeah.
And rate the podcast, will you? Rate it. Do
yes. Rate it. Rate us. 5 out of 5 every time. But yeah, that's about it, Grizz. You got any last words?
Yeah. All good for
any
me.
Any last words, pal?
Look forward to seeing you all next week.
Well, you won't be here next week, mate.
Oh, yeah. I look forward to seeing you next week while I'm probably very hungover from the Tintinational.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
Let's go.
What game is my plan? Mate.
Well, look, we'll catch you in a fortnight's time, Grizz. And in the meantime, guys, we'll see me and Nicktacular on this show. Take care. Look after yourselves.
At the moment, playing.
Yeah.
A bit of
Cap, don't hang up just in case it doesn't upload. I don't know how
still
we actually stop
cult
this.
Of lamb?
No, I won't.
And I'm about
let's
to jump
let's
into
do the let's do the outro together.
How much do I've been learning to play that? Why can't I get these guys?
That's it for sure.
Yeah, that'll do. All right, I don't know how we stop this.
No, neither do I. Well, neither of us are the host, so I don't know. Hey, I'm going to turn Paff on the stream.
Paff's face.
Is he coming back? Hey, Paff.
Whoa. Hello?
No, you only just come back, mate. We haven't left yet. We finished the episode, though.
So- Can you stop the recording? Do you have that ability?
Yep.
Yeah.
Do you reckon you lost that, or do you reckon our bits would stay?
Yeah.
G'day, streamers. Mine says 99% uploaded, so I don't know.
There you go.
Tits.
Well, that's okay. Look, if we have to pull it off the Twitch... Oh, actually, we can't pull off the Twitch VOD because it's going to be dog shit.
And the Twitch VOD won't have us talking at the end.
Closing statements. All right. Well, thanks for listening.
It says recording on my end already for some reason. It's done fucked up.
As always, thank you for listening. Appreciate you guys immensely. Go and tell your nan about us, someone who you think might appreciate this podcast. Just one person, just please, fuck sakes, can you just fucking tell one person, please? It'd be great. And review and rate the podcast. It'd be great. 5 out of 5 stars only, and positive vibes only. Anything, everything else is illegal. Right. Now you can go and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/OGRshow. You can go and join our Discord and, you know, talk at us in there. We will respond within due time, within business hours. yeah, just go and check that the Discord link in our link tree and within the description of this podcast and also in the Twitch chat right now. I think that's about everything.
Do you know, Cap, that Pav has hired an extra person for this podcast that mans the Facebook? Did you fucking know that?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I messaged the Facebook and a bloody bot replied to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Dr. Robotnik, what's he doing in there?
I don't know. Real
DJ Francesco. He's fucking manning the fucking the DMs. excellent. Okay. But yeah, also Patreon. Again, thank you to our wonderful Patreon supporters. And if you would like to become one, I think it's just patreon.com/OceanicGamingRadio or /OGRshow. It's one of the two. Go and check it out. You can pay us money to continue putting this on the airwaves. We're going to do it whether you pass or not, but yeah, we appreciate it regardless. Yeah, appreciate you. Take care. Look after yourselves. And yeah, big kisses. We'll see you next time. You won't see Grizz next time, but you'll see me and Nick Tacular come at you live 7 p.m. AWST on a Monday night.
See you guys in 2 weeks. Also, keep your eye out on the Dota 2 International Live for my face on there. I'll try to get on the screen at some point. And if I do, yeah, I'll do a little love heart symbol for you all on there, okay?
Hell yeah. We'll be getting love on the tweet, on the Twitter. But yeah, thanks. We'll see you next time, guys. Peace out.